We're talking about the Bible, and it's important to study the Bible. Why do we want to know and have a good overview of the Bible? It's because when anybody talks about it, we will know what they're talking about, so that we are not misled and we do not follow any heresies. Right? It's very important. In the last days, we are approaching last days where there'll be loads and lots of teachings and different kinds of doctrines. So it's important for us, and it's good. It's a good thing if you've got a phone that you can take notes on. Take some notes when you come to church. Carry a pen or a little pad and write some important things, because there'll be some revelation and some truth poured out. And when you get those things, you can go back and read through them. And I'm reading through. I've got loads of notes, and now I can make, you know, audio notes also. And sometimes I'm driving and I'll just press the mic and I'll record some stuff. And I'll go back, and after a long time, listen to it again. And I realize those are just special moments that God had dropped some things in my spirit and that I caught at that particular moment. Because you know what, there's so much of information, and what we said before is that the brain leaks. And that's why we come to church, and some things we have to refresh ourselves, like communion. We do it regularly and we talk about the cross. And you know what, we can talk about the cross every single week and the gospel will be preached. Because that's what it's about. Jesus dying on the cross. Not just a wooden cross, because that is a Roman symbol of cruelty and murder, isn't it? And they did that. And when they did that to people, it was a public spectacle. Because if you saw somebody hanging on a cross and you drove past that hill, or you walked past that hill, they didn't have any cars then, isn't it? I mean, do you think you want to commit a crime? That was the reason why the Romans did that. So you'd think twice before you do something wrong. And that's why they murdered people publicly and made a public spectacle of them. So it's important for us to know and understand this very important book, the manual that was sent. How grateful we are. Years ago, people did not have the privilege of getting the text. Just one copy of it was almost impossible for people to have in their hands. It was left in sacred places in the synagogue, and only the priests had access to it. Not everybody had access to it. But look at our world today. Inundated with all the information and so many different versions of the Bible we have. So many different commentaries of the Bible, helping us to understand and unravel all the truths of God's Word, to bring it up so that we can have a full understanding, and our purpose will now be accomplished because we understand that God sent a manual for us to live this life on this earth and to live it with all success. If we're not successful, it's not the problem with the Word, it's the problem with us. We're not getting a lot of it, we're not taking it in, or we're trying to change the Word. That's when we talk about heresies and all the different kinds of doctrines. Don't change the Word, change this. Right? We were saying yesterday, when you look into a mirror and you find you have something, you notice that you know, when people have something on their mouth, or you know, they've just eaten something, and you tell them, you got something on your mouth, and it's always that they will go the opposite side, isn't so, because of the way they look at you. Now, if you look in the mirror, right, and you look at a mirror and you see, I mean, ladies spend a lot of time in the mirror. I don't know if any men do that. No, wouldn't catch anybody after that one. Right, you spend a lot of time in the mirror, and you look at yourself in the mirror, and if there's something there on your face, you don't rub it off on the mirror, isn't it? You go to the source, to your face. It's just a reflection of what's on you. That's exactly what the Word of God is. The Word of God just tells you who you are, where you've been, what you've been doing, and what you should be doing, and what road you should be on, and what things you need to remove, and what things you need to add on. Right? Because when ladies look at that, and I need more powder, I need more foundation, I need more mascara, or something like that, I don't know how stuff that they use, then you know you need that, because you know what you want to look like, isn't it? And the mirror is telling you the truth. The mirror is not lying, unless it's one of those fairy tales that you hear about with lying mirrors. But the mirror tells the truth of exactly what you look like. If you're not happy, then there's some things that you need to change. So that's how the Word of God is. The more you read it, and don't neglect the Old Testament, it is so powerful. It's giving you the story right from the very beginning, isn't it? It's telling you right from the very beginning. So that foundation gets cemented over and over and over and over when you keep reading it. Brother Hagin read the Bible 150 times, and God was telling him there's a lot of stuff you don't know. He said, about 150 times. That's how powerful this Word is. Catherine Kuhlman said the Bible is the most updated book. This is tomorrow's news, she said. Very updated. And he's telling you a lot of things that is going to happen. So in the last days, a lot of different kinds of doctrines you would hear. And that's what we like to do, is we like to try to stick close to the Word of God as possible. We'll use testimonies, we'll use examples, we'll use some commentaries, we'll use some fresh revelation, we'll allow the Holy Spirit to take us to where He wants us to go, and also to understand this Word. I cannot understand or read this Word without the power of the Holy Spirit. It is impossible. It will just be a storybook or another novel that you pick off your shelf and start to read when you start to do that with the Bible. It is a book inspired by the Spirit of God, we said last week. God breathed into it and brought life. So let's not read it like any ordinary book. Let's take some time. Let's make some time and start reading the Word and read it with the Spirit of God. You see, right from the very beginning, God is talking about His creation that we've been through. And all the things that He did right there from the very beginning, how He laid the foundation, how He created all things. We do not know a lot of other things exactly how He did it. He just said He did it. And that's all we need to know. See, there's a lot of things that were happening as we progress. Adam and Eve was created. They sinned in the garden. God came and He killed an animal. That was the first killing, by the way. That was a sacrifice of the animal to get skin and get them covered and to cover their nakedness. So God did that for them. Covered their nakedness. Made the sacrifice for them. The first sacrifice that you see was God Himself. Covering the naked and shameful bodies of the people that He created, and He told them not to do certain things, and they did that. So God banished them from the garden, right? So they left the garden, and thereafter, Cain was born, Abel was born, and slowly what you see, from the sins of Adam and Eve, evil starts to creep into this clean world. Cain was envious and jealous of his brother, and he murders his brother. And God plainly told him, if you brought the right sacrifice, you had the right attitude, I have no problem with that. Why don't you fix that? But he thought fixing Abel was going to fix the problem and get favor with God. God's looking for the right attitude and the right heart in whatever we do. And all these examples in the Old Testament are there to tell us who God really is and how pure and holy He is and how He wants justice and how He wants to put things right. And as time progresses, you read about all the things that happened. And thereafter, you find that the curse was on Cain and he goes away. He's cursed. His generation was cursed because of the evil that he had done. You see, God had to teach him something, as much as he's loving and he's full of grace. So the man goes along, gets married, I don't know. You know, and at that point, you start to read the Bible and start to wonder, but where were the other people from? How did he get married? How did he find? Now, the Bible concentrates on a generation and on a chosen nation. If the Bible had to give you stories about every other nation and every other thing, it'll be like BBC News. There's so much there that you don't need. Some of the things that they got in the news, you don't need them. So imagine all BBC, the South African news, every other country listening to the news all over. Can you sit there for hours and listen to the news of every nation and every country? I don't think we have the time sometimes to watch the news, isn't it? Unless you're looking for something in the news. But imagine listening to the Bible. There will be books upon books which wouldn't be relevant for us. What was relevant for us was God chose a nation and He worked through that nation and that generation. So there's some things that's not there. We do not know. The things we need to know is what we need to read about and concentrate on. Leave the other things. Our brain is always asking us questions. Where did this person come from? Why was this like this? How come this had happened? Why did God do that? So what we don't know, we don't know. The things that are revealed to us is for us and for our situation. And it'll get us to the place we want to go to, our final destination, heaven. Amen. So there you go. Cain and all the other people and thereafter. And then we come to Genesis 11. Genesis 11 is a very interesting story of the Tower of Babel. Very interesting story. I'm just going to skim through that, right? God comes down and He sees the unity of the people, which is what we're preaching in our church. We're trying to make ourselves family. We want to be united. We want to care for each other, love one another, work together. You know, and when somebody's not here, give them a call. Don't wait for your pastor to do that or leaders to do that. Give them a call. See how they're doing. You know, if they were not well, just pray over them. Pay them a visit. Have some times of coffee, meals together. This is what makes a church family. Now, right there, He was saying to them in Genesis 11, He said there's such unity, and because they have unity, nothing is impossible with them. Read Genesis 11. He gives us a key there already about the unity. And then let's go to Genesis 12, is where I want to speak to you this morning about a very, very interesting man. We skip Noah, we go to Abraham. We find that through his descendants, God is showing us who the descendants. He can trace it back right up to Adam. Isn't that amazing? The first man comes down to Shem, and comes down to Abraham. Abraham is there with his family in Genesis 12, and he hears the voice of God. God makes a covenant with this man, a mortal man, the first time that God had made a covenant with a man, right? And this man becomes the vital pillar and the cornerstone of the entire Jewish religion. And very key and very significant. This man is going to be mentioned in the Bible now about 250 times. I think that's very important to know and study this man. Because right up in the New Testament, you hear about Abraham. When somebody says that we are seeds of Abraham, we are grafted in the family and the promises of God. We become co-heirs. And we didn't inherit anything from the Jewish culture physically, but because of our faith, we do now. And we become part. And all the promises that God gave to the children of Israel is now mine and yours. Isn't that amazing? So let's go to Genesis 12. And we'll read there from verse 1. Genesis 12 and verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram. That's what was his name first. Abram without the H. Get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. Wow. Verse 2. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Now, many things that God said to a particular person in the scripture is not just saying it to that person, but we know through faith we become co-heirs and part of the promises that God gave to Abraham, which is a promise that He's actually giving to you and me. Do not read it as something that God wrote for somebody else, but include and put yourself in that and make it a covenant that God is making with you and I. And this is when Christianity will start becoming a reality, and we will start living and walking it on the face of this earth. I like to get passionate about that, because the God of this Bible is the God of today, and He's with us, and He will walk through any situation we go through. We will come out victorious and successful in every situation, because Abraham was, because he listened to the voice of God and he walked out of a possible to an impossible situation. It was all possible when he lived with his wealthy family. He came from a wealthy background. Everything was going fine for him. Good family life. He had all things going. And he had to leave and go to a place that he did not know. In most cases, God asks you to do things that seems impossible with us. It's got to be impossible. Because if it's possible, then how do you think it's... I mean, how are we going to measure whether it's God or me? You know, so many things I had in my life that was impossible for me to do. Right now, I mean, from where I come from, my background, I would never imagine me being a pastor in England. It could be a distant dream, but it can only be a reality when I start believing in the impossible, when I start following the voice of God. And the same thing with you in whatever situation. God will ask you to do things that are impossible. We want to do the possible things because they are really comfortable and easy to do. But knowing God from the Old Testament and how He operates and how He works, you realize that He puts you in impossible situations. It's great when it's impossible. Then you can say, God, all glory goes to you, because I couldn't do it in my strength, in my wisdom, and in my knowledge. But I know that you guided me through the process, and I just listened to your voice, and I had what? Faith. You're going to hear that word all the time, and that's why we had to change our name to Rhema, because it is a faith movement. And that's what the whole Bible is all about. Faith. Isn't it? You go to work, you got to have faith whether you're going to have that job. Anything can happen, right? We need to have faith in God. And time and again, we need to remind ourselves that that paycheck that you get, that salary check that you get, is from God. All those new ideas and inventions that come up is from God. Amazing. You know, people in the world are getting it. This is I was very, very impressed by this story. I was watching Bloomberg. I like to watch some of the business news and to see how some people, and there's a story of a young man, left South Africa, comes from an Afrikaans background, didn't have much money, landed in Canada. His final destination was America. He wanted to go. And he just worked for it. It was an impossible thing. He got there, he hardly had any money, called his mom, and she also gives the story together with a few others in this documentary. And I'm listening to him, and he goes out there, little money, and he starts to study in a university in Canada. He didn't attend class much. He just, you know, would do all his work at home and write the tests, and he passed the exams. And then from there, he made his way, and he studied, at the university in America. He studied in the university in America, but this man was chasing a bigger dream that he had. And he kept chasing a bigger dream, and he found a way where you can pay through the internet years ago, and they called it PayPal, right? And everybody knows PayPal now. The company became very successful. It was just a software company. He spoke to his brother, he says, come over, let's develop something where people can pay. And people thought, well, paying over the internet? And not a lot of people were doing buying on the internet at that time anyway. So he started to buy, started to develop the software, a very simple one. And then eventually, he got this big contract, and eBay bought this whole thing off. And today you pay when you buy on eBay. It's one of the big shopping places you can go to. Sold it for millions and millions of US dollars. This just propelled him into another place altogether. And he's now into designing electric cars. He's just a multi-millionaire from an idea and a thought. Now think back, whether he's a Christian or not, where does these thoughts and inventions come from? God. You know, I keep telling Luke, you know, we're just one idea away from becoming multimillionaires. I don't want to. You're just one idea away. But you know what? We have God. If some people can take risk, another way to spell faith is R-I-S-K, risk. That's what it is. There are a lot of business people out there didn't even have much of God, but they took a chance and took a risk and went out there, put everything into it. Some people put their life savings into something, and something becomes of that. But when you become too cautious, overcautious, too careful, you don't have faith, we don't have faith, I don't have faith, we don't step into the unknown, we cannot experience what God has for us, right? And God has greater things for us. Look at Abraham. How many people talk about Abraham even up to now? When we talk about Abraham, we know his obedience was accounted to him as righteousness, the Bible says in Hebrews even 11. That's a reference now in the New Testament. Nice to throw some New Testament into that, isn't it? So God speaks to him and tell him, get out of your country and from your family. Oh, you know what? Sometimes leaving our family is a difficult thing. I remember the time we had to tell Gail's mom and dad that we're leaving, we have to go overseas. And we were already living about 11 hours away from our families. But they knew that we were in the same land, we could drive at any time, and we could see each other, we speak to each other often, and they were in tears, weren't they? My mom doesn't express a lot of emotions. She'll just say yes, and just, I suppose inside she's probably crying. But I remember the time they were crying, and it's not an easy thing to leave family. It's not an easy thing to leave country. So we stepped out in faith. We didn't know what to expect, what to get, where it's going to happen. I was already doing ministry. People already knew me. We had to start all over again. Barry didn't know anything about me. I didn't call him to tell him I was coming, and this is what I do. He never asked me for any CV or what I did. And even up to the time that he chose me as a minister, he walked in complete faith. That's faith, Barry. Having to choose somebody who comes all the way from Africa and say, God told me. That's the same thing what he did to Abraham. Get out of your country and your family and from your father's house to a land. Now, Abraham is in his father's house, and being in his father's house, he will inherit everything that his father has. That's what children get, right? But he left and he went out because he heard the voice of God. And that's what makes the difference. When you start listening, when you start reading the word of God, you will hear the voice of God. You know, it's like when you met your partner, if you're married, or have been married, and you know, your kid may ask you the question, or children may ask you the question, Dad or Mom, how do you know that this was your partner? And I think you all can answer in this way. We just knew, isn't it? You try to find answers for that. But there's something in you that tells you, I knew. You knew that when you saw me the first time, didn't you? Oh, you hear the voice of God then. And that was impossible, wasn't it? I am impossible. So you just know. You don't have to go and ask 1,000 people what it is to hear the voice of God. You will know it is the voice of God speaking to you. You will know. When you have a dream and when God is trying to say something, you will know when it's just an ordinary dream, whether you had just a lot of pizza the night before, or whether it's God speaking to you. and it's a nightmare. But there are times that God will speak to you and you will know that the dream cannot leave you, like Pharaoh had the dream, remember? And he had to get Joseph to interpret it. The dream stayed with him. The dream troubled him. So you'll know when there's a message from God. So God speaks like that, and Abraham knew this was the voice of God. And he listened to him. I will make you a great nation. It's only a promise. What guarantee, God? that you're going to make me a great nation. The man never asks questions like that. What if it doesn't work out? Then, you know, maybe I need to secure things at home so I can come back. The man had to leave with lock, stock, and barrel. Everything that he had. And many times, we have to leave. You know, Dr. Wingos is going to be with us in March. And to do exactly that, he left everything. Had a network of about 120 churches. Had a large church in Wales. Was doing extremely well. And God told him to let go of everything. Now, that's not an easy thing. Let go of everything so that when you let go of everything, I can put something else in your hands and take you to a new journey. And you know what? He's just traveling all over the world today, and he's doing great ministry, great lives. I mean, people's lives have been touched, and he's inspired so many people through the anointing and presence of God. I just heard he's going to Siberia now, and he's traveling all over Europe and other parts of the world. So it's great that he can take the good news of the gospel wherever he goes. So, walking in faith. Verse 3, I will bless those who bless you. Remember, when you carry the anointing and presence of God in your life, no matter what people say, no matter how they may gossip, and when there's jealousy and all kinds of stuff that may be said about you, you don't worry about that. God will take care of that. Our job is just to love and forgive. God does the other part. He will fix things, and he will deal with such people. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all families of the earth shall be blessed. What a great promise. And that, Genesis 12, must be part of our Christian walk. Look at how important now the Old Testament is. Look at how important Genesis, the first book of the Bible, is to us. Not just the creation story, but God coming down, making a covenant with man. You know, one of the names of God is covenant, a covenant-making God. Now, when we had a difficulty with Jude, I was just in our ministry at that time. We were just learning about covenants, starting to read and listen to messages about covenants. And I thought, this is quite interesting. We were in an impossible situation. The boy had a terrible accident. He was dying. He lay there in that hospital bed. And the doctors were just waiting for him to go. They couldn't give him any kind of medication. They couldn't do anything for him. And all the professional people, that team of neurosurgeons, were working with him because he had this big cut across his head as the car somersaulted many a times. They're driving at a very high speed, and he got flown out of the car. And when they picked him up, he had just this big hole at the back of his head. That's what they said when they picked him up. And he was just lifeless. There's nothing in him. They took him to the hospital. They just tried to stitch the place where he was cut. That's about all. And they were just waiting for him to die. There was no way forward medically for the boy. And we didn't know what to do. We were just fighting this battle spiritually, asking God, hearing a word from him, finding out what the scriptures and what the word says. And when you get into the word, and I tell you what, you read the Old Testament about covenants, you'll realize how powerful it is. When people made covenants with God, God stood by them and he kept his part of the deal and the covenant. And man had to do the other part, keep that. And God gave me the first word, he's going to be well. But to look at his condition physically, it was hopeless. But I had to listen to the word, like Abraham. I had to listen, even without seeing where he's going to go and what is going to happen. So we made a covenant with God because we learned about that. We said, this is what we're going to do. As you hear that prophetic word, Gail just kept hearing the prophetic word of what we need to do, what steps we need to take. And sometimes I'm thinking, okay. I thought, just pray, just say it, and that is done. But there's some things that you need to know how to do so that you can pray in the right direction. And praying the Word of God is very important. The reason why we're going through the Bible is so that we can learn that in our prayers, we'll start praying the Word of God. Pray the prayers of Abraham. Pray the prayers of Jabez. And you know what? Business people have found them very successful. Paste this on your wall and start saying that all the time. You'll speak it to yourself. You'll speak it to the demons all around. You know what? There's demons. Because we are in a spiritual battle daily. You know, one moment you feel that you are successful, you just got over this battle, and you're facing another one. Why? Because he knows that you have something so powerful. You have the Word of God. You have all his promises just packed in, ready for you to explore and experience in your life. And he wants to get a hold of that and rip it out of you. He wants to prove that this is lies. You know what? Yesterday you went to Trump. Now you're going to something else. And then you want to go to more. What's happening? Is this real? Does this work? Yes, it works. 17 years later, I'm still here saying the same thing. Not in this place, but been saying that, preaching that. That God is faithful. God is faithful. I may go my own route. I may make some decisions that are stupid and wrong, and I get myself into trouble. It's not God. But listen to what, you know, I realized that in Africa, that I realized after some time that I preach a different message in Africa than I preach here in Europe. Completely different message. Many of the things I'll say differently. Because you see, in Africa, people know and have a sense of godliness. Generally, all over. Right? And even though they may live in the bushes and you talk about God and you go there as a priest, you'll get all the respect and you'll get all the years listening to you. Just like that. They'll stop what they're doing and they'll listen to you and respect you, right? The thing is, in Africa, when people just go away from God and they get into deep trouble and they haven't been coming to church or in fellowship, people run to God when they go to trouble. Isn't it true? Many of the pastors are overworking themselves because they'll hear of people from all sides. When they go into trouble, they firstly come to a pastor for prayers and for some wisdom and for some guidance and counsel. So the pastors are just inundated with all those kind of counseling sessions that he has. In Europe, I discovered, and in England, the UK, people may be believers, but when they're going through a hard time, they don't come to fellowship. They stay away from church. I'm not picking on anyone now. they just want to run far away from God. You see the difference of that? In Africa, they run to the church when they have trouble. In Europe, we run away from God, and some people start to blame, oh, well, if this God, then he wouldn't allow this to happen. Why is there so much of unrest? Why is there so much of war? Why is there so much of diseases? And all the type of things. We don't hear that in Africa. Anybody from Africa who can say it? Do you hear much of that, David, in Africa? That God is causing all this evil and disease? We don't hear that, right? Maybe I'm teaching you something because you'll probably take a mission trip to Africa sometime. Barry's going to join me in that. and we're going to get him to eat some African food. That is going to be my biggest challenge. That's the food in Ghana. I'm making him scared. Oh, no, Barry, no, we're not going to do that. So, I had to learn some things because there's some things I had to do, research and study, together with God's word. Paul had to do that when he traveled to different churches. They suffered different problems in the different churches. So if you go to Africa, there's a way you need to know how to minister. There are some people that go from Western places and never want to go back on a mission trip ever again. Because they're not orientated and they're not taught and you know, didn't have proper guidance in regard to that. So right here, listen, when you go through trouble, don't stay away from fellowship. Can I say this with everything in me? That's the worst thing we can ever do, is to stay away from fellowship. If you're not feeling comfortable, and if people are going to ask you and you're not going to smile, that's tough, that's okay if you can't smile. But you are coming here for God. There's something about taking a coal that is cold and putting it amongst the burning coals. What happens eventually? It'll catch a light, isn't it? That's exactly what fellowship and church is all about. Come to fellowship. You know, many of the times I didn't feel like it. But when I got here, something happened. Just seeing somebody else smile does something for me. Just hearing somebody else's testimony does something for me. And then when we do that, that's good. Because you sit at home, all you're going to hear is the voice of the devil. How useless we are, how we're not going to make it, how much of pain we're going through. All those kind of voices that we're going to keep hearing over and over again. Isn't that true? So I'd rather be in the house of God where I can hear some positive good things. I can hear the word of God, and I know that when I hear some positive things, I tell you what, I can start doing the impossible. So no matter what I'm going through, I am going to be victorious. We've got to tell ourselves that. And when you're telling yourself that in pain, wow, that's a bigger sacrifice. It's going to be painful to just get out the bed, to get into your cars, and make that effort to come in. But you know what? We can't do that. In Africa, they used to do that when we didn't go to school. Used to drag us out of the beds, under the beds. And the teachers used to come to our home. They really did that. And my home was right next to the school. And one of the teachers was some family, distant family member. And I didn't like to go to school. I remember the time. So when we hear that a teacher was coming, we hid under the bed. And they would just pull us out. They just know where to look. I don't know how they knew that, but they just know where to look. And I tell you what, when he gets you from under the bed, he's not just from under the bed. You're going to get that cane, and you'll feel it on your behind. No matter how many layers of clothes you would use, that cane would get to you. So those are the days. But you know what? Let's come to church. This year, let's make our efforts. Let's plan to come to hear the Word of God. Why? Because we faced the whole 5-6 days we out there, and we faced with all kinds of pressure that the devil want to put on us. We have to go to our jobs. We have to go to our businesses. We have to interact with people that have no faith. So that little time that we spend on Sunday is absolutely important and precious for us. Even when we're having our coffees and teas and having our little chats on the passageway, it is important for us to be with believers. Even if they don't say anything and they just smile and shake your hand, that is something for you and for your spirit. So God said that to Abraham, and he launched him out. The man goes out, he steps out in faith, he steps out into the impossible, and he becomes a great man, and the people still talk about him today. All over, the Apostle Paul, who writes most of the books in the New Testament, mentions him as a great man. About 250 times, this name, Abraham, is mentioned in the Bible. I will bless you and your families, and the earth will be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. I tell you what, Lot did a very wise thing. Very wise thing. Perhaps God is, you know, launching you out in a kind of a ministry. Perhaps he's trying to do that for a long time, and he's taking a long time to get there. It's not going to just happen. I had to step into the impossible and start doing things. I always say, you know, it's not the title, but it's the function. I operated as a pastor before I became a pastor. Yeah. Working out, shepherding, counseling, teaching, doing all kinds of things with people. God is preparing us for where he would lead us later on. So Abraham did that. And he went and he believed. And Lot joined him. And some people may join you. Some people may be part of what God wants to do through your life. Some people may not. But if they don't, that's okay. Maybe they have another calling, another gifting, another ministry altogether. But what God called you to do, you need to do it. Whatever it is. Could be cleaning, Sunday school, decorating, fixing computers, which is something I shouldn't be doing. But whatever God has called you to do, he'll give you the wisdom and excellence. That's the other thing that we need to have in our spirits. Anything you do for God, do it at your best. Do it at your best. You know, this is what blessed me, because when this revelation only came to me after I had a vision and God taught me something else. Before that, when I worked for a company, I didn't work with diligence and excellence. But after I met with God, I realized he's a God of excellence and he loves diligence and God watches us at all times. So I came here to England, and there were times I was late. There were times where I took a little longer lunch break, but I was always conscious of the fact that I did that, and I had to put back those production times. And I didn't just put back the production times. My production times was higher than what was expected. I worked with excellence. When there was a time for promotion, I didn't realize that all this gets logged down into a computer. I'm not showing off about myself. I'm just saying some things that you think, you know what, the things that you think people don't notice, your boss don't notice, your supervisors don't notice, because you make one mistake and they start to highlight that and they start to bring you down. You know, we always said that, but all the other, you know, 99 things that we did right, they don't recognize that. But it's those one things that spoil that diligence and excellence in us. So there are times, or many of the times, when nobody watched, nobody asked questions, but I kept working at that and kept working at that. I thought I'm a Christian. I need to work with diligence. This is my boss and I need to give what I'm supposed to give and give it to my best. That's what the Bible teaches us, right? And I start to do that and start to do that with excellence and diligence. And when it came to times of promotion, I didn't realize my name stood out only because I was a diligent worker. All this was logged down on the computer all the time. So you think that nobody sees it. Some way it'll come up, and let it come up good for us, because we represent a kingdom and the kingdom of God, right? And that kingdom is a kingdom of excellence. So Abraham departed and went, Lot went. In verse 5, and Abraham took Sarai his wife and Lot his brother's son and all the possessions that they had gathered and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to a land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. I don't know where God's leading you, but God's leading you somewhere. In your personal walk and in your ministry. Remember that, right? Your ministry is about your gifting and your talents. Don't wait for people to make it happen in your life. If I had waited for people to make it happen in my life, I would not be in ministry. I did that in the beginning, and I thought that the church or people that I respected and expected to work through never happened. The pastor that I had, I couldn't go near him, couldn't speak to him. He had 20,000 members in his church. It was impossible to speak to him. I spoke to everybody else but him. But I worked in a department on the backgrounds without much people knowing about me. The senior pastor didn't know more about me. Neither did a lot of the pastors and leaders knew about what we were doing. Because we worked out in the squatter camps in the poor settlement areas where nobody saw what we did. So I had a title as a zone coordinator and just went on and did it. Regularly going out and doing the work. You know, all the time that I was out there preaching on those dirty streets with those poor kids and just preaching diligently from all my heart, just preaching out the word of God week in, week out, I knew that God had some greater plans for me. I knew that God was leading me somewhere else, but I had to start with those little steps, and I had to start in the beginning. And that's when God starts to bless us. So you're faithful with a little thing. God just sent him out with a word, and you knew God was going to do some other greater things with him. He's going to bless him with a son because it was impossible for this man to have a child at 99 years of age. I don't know anybody else who did that. His wife was getting on. The man was about 75 when he had to leave. 75 when he was about to leave and go out. He could have said, oh God, you know what, my back is really hurting now. I'm getting on in years. You know, maybe somebody else. Don't lose out. Don't lose out. God will call somebody else if you don't listen to his voice. He will. Because, you know, with Catherine Coleman, there was a minister that came up and said to her, if you haven't heard about her, get some books and try and read about her. She moved in some amazing miracles in her life. Many, many people, many, many outstanding miracles. Catherine Coleman, that's when you have Benny in and everybody else coming out from that. And one of the ministers at that time, not a lot of ladies would take on the pulpit. It wasn't normal. And a minister came up and said, you know what, I really enjoy your ministry and really blessed by your ministry, but I have a problem because you're a lady and I don't believe in a woman being in a pulpit. And she said, I don't like it either. That's what she said. She said, I asked God, and God, I said, God, I'm a woman, but when God told her to go out and preach. And God said, he asked four other people that were men, and they didn't do it. So I called you. God has a piece of work to do, and he's waiting for willing people that will step out of the ordinary and do the impossible with him. And she moved in such dimension with the power and the anointing of the Spirit of God. You hear so many people, so many preachers, so many ministries talk about Catherine Coleman's ministry. And how she has impacted so many lives. Because she went out. She stepped out of the ordinary. A woman. And just heard the voice of God. And did exactly that.